Hello, I'm Professor Liu. Welcome to our live stream. I'm here with art prof teaching artist Lauren Welch. Today, we are talking about five networking tips for visual artists. If you would like to grow as an artist, but you can't afford an art class, we've got everything you need here at Art Prof, critiques and tutorials. Okay, networking. This is actually, I think, one of the most important skills that you can gain as an artist. And I really do think it's a skill that takes experience and time to figure out. Lauren, would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, I agree. It is so when we're talking about becoming an artist, usually we're talking about like the technical skill and how someone, can make something really like realistic, for instance, or have great color. And we're like, oh, that's all it takes to being an artist. Like, you don't need anything else. You can just go out there and sell your work. And I know when I got out of school, I'm like, oh yeah, it'll be really easy. It is not. There's this whole human side of things that you have to deal with, and it's not as simple either as, say, being good at marketing. Like, it is a marketing thing, but the art world has their own rules about it. So the only way to really practice this is to be around other artists and learn from other artists who do a lot of social interaction and networking.
And it's tricky because some things are out of your control, and some things really are in your control. And it's hard to really figure out what is what until you've really had an opportunity to explore some of those possibilities and also to see visible impact. Because sometimes it's really hard to tell, like, is it worth it for me to follow up with this person? Maybe this will be my big break. And other times it goes nowhere. So, Lauren,
Definitely.
how do you deal with the unpredictability of networking as an artist?
It's like that saying you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So I try to put my eggs in lots of baskets. I have lots of different relationships or events or social circles that I'm trying to maintain all at once. I consider it like watering a garden. Like, if I haven't talked with a person or a group of artists or like a crit group or something like that in a while, like, I will physically travel to the place sometimes and go and catch up with people and see what's going on, and just keep that connection alive. And I want to stress that this isn't like a superficial kind of thing that I'm doing. I only keep up with the people that I'm like really interested in, like whatever it is they're working with or whatever events they're doing that I'm really interested in.
Well, one question that I get all the time from artists is, how do I get into an art gallery? How do I get my work into a museum collection? This is the answer. It really is. Because there's no application you can fill out to get into a gallery. You don't apply to be in a museum. It's completely done through networking. Would you say that's the case for you, Lauren?
For the most part, I think the one exception to that is, say, applying to an open call, which is literally filling out an online application. But the open calls exist to create a network, to open those new connections. If you get selected for the open call, then you go to the opening and then you meet all the other artists and the curator and the juror who selected your work. And that is, that's the foot in the door. Now you are responsible for keeping that relationship up afterwards.
Okay, let's go through our five tips. The first one, be polite. Duh, seems obvious, right? Of course you want to be polite, but wow, when I was a gallery director, Lauren, I could not believe people who were not polite. It was actually more common for people to never say thank you than to say thank you. And this would be after I would bust my butt for a month working on their gallery installation, doing all the PR for their show. I am shocked how many people never bother to say thank you. What's
Oh,
been your experience with this?
yeah, also as a gallery manager, I've experienced some real toughies. Generally, the artists that I've worked with have been really wonderful. Actually, every relationship that I've had with an artist in the gallery where we've worked to put on a show has like resulted in some really good conversations, and I've gotten a note that's like my favorite part of of putting up the show. But there are definitely some etiquette things that can really cause a relationship to grate, or to make me feel like, oh, I don't want to work with this person again, or I don't even want to attempt to work with this person. Like, one of the things that happens, that people think is okay, and I don't understand why, is they think it's fine if you come in with your portfolio, you lug your portfolio in, and be to whoever's on duty, hey, look at my work. Don't you think I should be in a show in here? Or can I take like 10 minutes of your time to like look at my artwork right now? That is absolutely like the worst thing that you can do, because generally the person on duty is not even the person that's supposed to be like looking at your work. Or say if I'm there, I've got like 5 million other tasks that I'm doing right then, and it's like, you know, taking me out of whatever I'm doing right now. That's not the way to go. Have you had that experience as well?
Well, I feel like people oftentimes, and this leads us to tip number two, is they begin with the ask. So the first time you meet somebody, they're like, you can do this for me. And I'm like, okay, can I please just meet you first before you demand that I do something for you? I gave a lecture a few months ago, and oftentimes after the lecture, a couple of people will come up and they'll talk to me about something or they have a question about the lecture. And I literally had one person come up to me, hand me their business card. That's it. They didn't
Yeah.
even say hello. They just were like, look at my work. And that is the biggest turnoff in the world. I was like, nope, I don't want to look at your work now because that was just really rude and annoying. And so
Yeah.
I don't think people realize that you can't be so aggressive. I feel like I would never ask for a favor until maybe the fourth encounter. And maybe even then, I would not feel comfortable. I have colleagues who have very high connections. I know people who are represented by high-end galleries who are in museum collections, but it's awkward to be like, could you please call the Met and tell them that I'm great? Please do that for me. It's hard because even with people I'm close with, I don't feel comfortable with the ask. What about
Yeah.
you?
Yeah, I think that there are things that are appropriate to ask and then things that are absolutely not okay to do. I think a good roundabout way of doing something like that is be like, hey, I'm really interested in, you always want to start with the gallery or the artist that you're talking with, never yourself. And you want to be like, hey, I'm really interested in is what you do. I would like to learn more. Would you be interested in doing a studio visit or meeting up for a coffee sometime? That is a great way to do something. It's pretty low pressure. And it's a much better way for the artist or gallerist or artist and artist or whoever you're talking to meet on a human level and to get more out of that interaction, to actually build a relationship. You really want to think of this actually in terms of building like a relationship with a person that you like want to go out on a date with. It's like a lot of the things that you do are weirdly the same. Like you don't go in and kiss someone, that's like bad, you know?
Dinner a few times.
Go out to dinner, like bring those flowers, like go to their events, show that you care, you know?
Well, I feel like a lot of people just don't think about it from the gallery owner's point of view. So, what I really try to do, if there's somebody I really want to get in touch with, let's say it's a journalist, okay? I don't say, here's who I am. I find an article that maybe they wrote recently. I read it. And first of all, I got to make sure it's a good fit because sometimes I'll follow journalists on Twitter and I'll think that what they do is relevant. But then after following them for a few months, I'll realize, you know what? This journalist is not really into what I'm into. So then I'll realize after a little while, let's not follow them anymore. That's not a good fit. But other times, what I'll do is I'll find the article and I'll go, oh, wow, this is a really good fit. And so I'll just tweet them and I'll say, hey, I read this article, really cool take. That's it. I won't say anything else. And that is an entry point towards a longer conversation.
Yes, I absolutely agree with that. That is the same thing that I do. I mean, I don't, if you're making work that is, say, super abstract, and then you are looking at a gallery that primarily shows like figurative representational work that doesn't really look like the best kind of fit, like that's just not part of the conversation. And also, I do want to stress with those kinds of like relationships that you're talking about, where you're following them and you're interested in what they're doing, and you're like, hey, this is really cool. Sometimes I do that just because I am like interested, like really just interested in the work, and I don't ever follow up in terms of like, oh, hey, like do you want to see my work? Do you want to show my work? Like, I just want to see like what's happening with the project over time, like, and maintain a more like, I don't know, like gallerist to gallerist kind of relationship, if that makes sense.
Right, you gotta do your research when you guys network. Because when I was a gallery director, before I was a gallery director, actually, I used to get very annoyed because I'd be like, how am I supposed to get into a gallery if nobody is accepting a submissions? This doesn't make any sense. It's so unfair. Why are the galleries so totally closed-minded about this? But then once you become a gallery director, you realize why it's like that. Because we would get submissions all the time from people who had no idea what our gallery was. Because the gallery I ran, it was at a college. The purpose was to serve the art department. We did not majorly focus on sales. It was really about providing artist lectures and content for the department. And it just drove me up the wall that people would not even bother to look us up. And after a while, I was like, oh, that's why gallery directors do that, because that's incredibly annoying for people to just assume, oh, because it's a gallery, it must be a good fit. And I'm like, nope, that is definitely not always the case. All right, we got some comments in the chat. Alice is saying, narcissists are all over the world, maybe even more in the art world. Adir Rasifi is saying, what I'm hearing is genuine connections matter. I think that's a win, even if you don't get a show, maybe you make a new friend. Absolutely. Like,
Absolutely.
that is not a bad thing. If you start to relate to somebody, and even if you don't have visible results in your career, it's still okay. 10,000 Crows is saying, Professor Liu, did you like being a gallery director? Well, I can tell you that being a gallery director, it is so much work. I mean, I had no idea when I first got started how many tasks are involved. I mean, you really have to multitask. Lauren, you were a gallery manager for a long time. Do you think it was a lot of work?
Oh my God, it was the most stressful job I've ever had. And I've had a lot of art jobs, guys. I don't know about you, Clara, but even for like, I worked for a small gallery. This is not like a super huge place. And maybe it was partly because of that. I was always behind. Like, there was always stuff I needed to do. There were like, we're not just planning like the current show or even the next show. We were planning shows a year out. So I was always working on like with three gallery spaces open, three different shows, probably like at least 10 shows at once. So it's just like a huge amount of multitasking. It like is both in the gallery that I was busy, but then also outside of the gallery, I would have to travel a lot to places. Like it was nuts. It was a great job, but it was totally nuts. So
Well,
like,
I feel like I learned a lot about being an artist and working with a gallery. And in that sense, it really helped me understand the art world and why it functions the way that it does. But it's not really a job I'd want for the rest of my life because it's a lot of work. And also, Lauren, I don't know if you had this experience, but every show I did, there'd always be some strange thing that would come up that as much as I prepared for in advance, I could not anticipate. There was one time I had a sculptor who was showing at our gallery, and he actually called me one day and he said, Clara, this little piece of my sculpture fell off. Can you glue it back on? I'm like, no, I'm not gonna glue something onto your sculpture for you. It was just ridiculous. And just, oh my gosh, like all the reactions, and it's not an easy job. And I feel for people who work in the gallery business because it is not easy at all. And especially, I think brick and mortar galleries, they really are struggling quite a bit.
Yeah,
Okay.
definitely.
Camillo is telling me to get it together with the window size. Well, you know what? I can't do anything about it because the internet
That's my
connection
internet.
is sometimes not great and OBS keeps doing that. So if you're wondering why Lauren's window keeps zooming in and out, it's because of this glitch with the internet connection
It's
and OBS. I'm trying to fix it, but it is not a
actually
technical thing I have
not.
figured out yet. So I'm
It's
really
just my
sorry if
computer,
Lauren
guys.
keeps getting bigger and smaller because that's me trying to fix it. So really sorry about that, guys. Cool. We
Yeah.
got Eloise Sherrod in the chat. Eloise is an art prof teaching artist, so you guys can feel free to pick her brain as well.
She's good the networking stuff, guys. Eloise is all over the networking stuff.
Gwen Willoughby is saying, we're lucky here in Europe, there are quite a few small galleries that will accept walk-in applications. That's how I got my show this year, which got canceled due to COVID. Oh man, that's a bummer.
Hope
That
they
happened to
reschedule it.
so many people, and it's just like, oh my God, you worked so hard to get to that point, and then to have it canceled is just so incredibly frustrating.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about attending events, because while I know we can't do that right now, there are other versions of that and things you can do until things get back to normal. So
Yes.
let's just talk about if, in theory, we could go out. Why attending events in person matters. So, Lauren, let's start with you because you are everywhere. You're going
Yeah.
to tons of events. Well, you were all the
Yeah.
time.
I will give people a brief background of what that meant. Okay, so I was living in rural New Hampshire, and this is like where this gallery was, rural New Hampshire. I would commute an hour to get to the New Hampshire city to teach and go to the shows there. I would commute to Boston to see shows there, and at least once a month, it was probably every 2 weeks, I would go down to New York for a weekend, 2 or 3 days, either to get artwork for the shows in New Hampshire or to attend shows that of my own work or to see shows of just galleries that I was interested in. I was literally only driving. It was ridiculous. But going to these, th this is what I'm talking about. This is like the really important thing. If you show up to a place, if you make that effort, that says something. You don't even need to necessarily like say words. If someone knows that you have come all the way from wherever it is that you've come from, even if it's just like 10 minutes away, to be present at that event, that means a lot. That really means a lot. When I saw people come, like town people come to the shows at the gallery I worked at, that was huge to me. Like I get people that were like, my regulars, and we would chat a little bit. Like if I saw a familiar face, I'd be like, hey, I've seen you like a while, you keep coming here, like what are you interested in? So that's really a place to first learn about new artists and really get to know your community. I know that I'm talking about going to a big city, but really this was especially important to me when I was in my town. This helped me find my artist community in a way that was like super valuable, like kept me going. But then it also just helps you on a professional level. Like when people know your face, then they can refer you to certain things, or you can talk later after events and like have your own studio critique meetups. It's like useful in many, many ways.
People really remember those face-to-face interactions in a way that they won't remember an email. And a lot of artists say to me, well, how do I get in touch with the gallery director if I can't find their email online and they don't accept submissions? And I say to them, go to the openings and don't just go to one, go to them on a regular basis. And eventually you will start to get recognized because I ran a gallery for a while. And there would always be a couple of faculty who would always come to support. I remembered who those people were. You do not forget the people who show up. If you guys ask me, Clara, who showed up in person to your last solo exhibition, I can tell you right now the names of the 8 people of my colleagues who I knew that showed up. And that goes a really long way. Of course, it takes a lot of time because, like Lauren said, you've got to schlep all over the place. But face-to-face, there's nothing like it. Now, that said, that doesn't mean you cannot use online media like social media and other things to get in touch with people. So, Lauren, how would you say you could, say, use Instagram to make a connection?
So Instagram's really great. And actually, a few years ago, I think before Instagram got like really huge, I do know several of my friends got gallery representation through, you know, talking to someone over Instagram, which I think is crazy. That's probably a little bit harder now because Instagram is like blown up. It's so huge now. But I do think one of the simplest things to do, just to, you know, show that you care and like establish maybe a brief connection, is to either DM a gallery or an artist and be like, hey, I really like this thing that you recently put up. Like, just put a thoughtful comment out there. I don't think I've seen or heard of a situation where that wasn't welcome. Even with the galleries, and I know like galleries can seem really like scary and like really hoity-toity and intense, like even they like really appreciate it when someone says, hey, this show is really interesting to me because this, this, and this. Like, people always want feedback on what they put up. Also, another way of doing things or establishing a connection is buying like a small piece of work. Now, I'm not saying like go and buy something like, I don't know, like buy it just to make the connection. I don't think that's good. But like, for instance, my sister, who wants to know more artists, she will look at people's websites, look at their Instagrams, and sometimes they'll have like a little sale or they'll be selling like prints or something. And she'll be like, hey, I really like your work. Like, could I, you know, could I buy like this piece? And an artist is never gonna say no to a sale, you know? So, and neither is a gallery, honestly. So that is also a great way to start that relationship, is like you start getting a little bit of organic chatting that happens beyond the sale, which is really nice. And they know that you're a supporter.
Hugh Benier is saying, I think part of it is the fact that you show genuine interest. You're worth the time because you always show up. Adirisify, sorry, I can't say your name. I'm limited to how much I could do in person because of fatigue issues, but I love telling people I love their work on Instagram and has strengthened connections with other artists. And Wen Willoughby says, I love that the internet gives us a real opportunity to talk to and connect with our favorite artists. I'm really grateful for that. Yep, and if you guys watch my stream on social media, it's a long stream, but it's very comprehensive. I really tried to cover as much as I could. I talk about how these little interactions on Instagram, they can turn into something. It takes a while. It's not going to happen in a week. In fact, yesterday I had a studio visit with a journalist, and this studio visit I think took me a year and a half to get to. And it was literally through comments on Instagram, because I follow them on Instagram. I looked at their stuff, and it's cool stuff. I mean, I like it for real. I wasn't just doing this because I was trying to get in, but I kept having these quick conversations. And eventually they said, hey, you do really cool work. They started following me. And then after a little while, they just emailed me out of the blue and said, hey, you want to do this? I was like, yes. And that happened because of short, thoughtful comments on Instagram. I'm not talking about an emoji or cool or awesome. I'm talking about, I love the colors in this. Something like that comes across as so dramatically intelligent on Instagram. It can really have an impact, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Eloise is saying, doing workshops is a great way to meet people in the art world, film world in my case. I did a Zoom workshop with a filmmaker I was a huge fan of. We had a great one-on-one convo after. That's a great point, Eloise. And I would also add to that conferences. There's a big nerdy printmaking conference every year. It's called the Southern Graphics Conference. I met so many people in the printmaking world, and you're stuck in the middle of nowhere on some college campus for 3 days attending all these symposiums, and you can't help but get to know each other. Like, Lauren, you just got back from the College Art Association conference in
Yes.
February. What was that like, that conference for
Oh.
networking?
Oh, that was really crazy. That was a landscape that I had not encountered before, and many people tried to prepare me for it, and I did not know what I was getting myself into. It is basically every art historian, teacher, professor, college, museum director, all of them getting together and giving lectures and listening to lectures and panels and like the presentations and all that about like all of the ideas in the art world happening right now. It's in a fancy, fancy, hoity-toity, big hotel in this year was in Chicago. And people, it's all about networking, really. Like, it's sharing these ideas, but everybody wants to give you their card. And I didn't know anybody this time around. Well, I knew like actually a bunch of people by the end, because it's really everybody. But it is. I'm glad that I went there to give a presentation and not to network, because I think I would have died if I had to like jump into that shark pool there. It's all about, the amount of alcohol that was there, because everybody's like, hey, want to get a drink afterwards and we can talk about this and this and this. Like, and this is happening like many times in a day. Like, it's all about those relationship things. It was wild.
All right, our next tip is to be genuine. And this is what we mean by this. I think you should not try to cultivate a relationship with somebody unless you genuinely like what they do, because people can tell when
Oh,
you're
yeah.
just trying to use them for something. For example, I was not a gallery director for a while, and there is this faculty member who taught in the same department. It was a really big department, so half the people I didn't even meet in person. And this person never really talked to me. I mean, they weren't ignoring me. They would say hello, whatever, but we'd never really said anything beyond hello. And then when I became a gallery director, all of a sudden they were talking to me and showing me their stuff. And I was like, wow, this is convenient. I guess you did your research. And that immediately made me not want to help them. Do you feel like you can spot it, Lauren, when people are just there to use you?
Oh yeah, definitely. It's like, yeah, it's just in the way that even you can tell when someone's listening and when they're not. Like, if you guys are both interested in the same thing, you guys are gonna have something to talk about. If one person's just like trying to like stalk you so they can like kind of use you and get in, like the conversation just does not flow like that, and you don't want to be around the person anyways. I think it's also just like really gross, and there is a fair amount of that like in the art world. Like, it does happen, and I feel like we can all just do our part by, like fostering like healthy relationships with other artists, instead of perpetuating that kind of toxic like using each other thing. It's just like a group hygiene thing that we should all be doing.
Eloise is talking about an artist they met at a workshop, and she's saying it never would have happened if I just cold emailed her, but because we met in another setting in real life, it was a great way to set up a connection that wasn't just me cold emailing her. And I know this for a fact because I did cold email her like 3 years ago and never heard back. Yep. I mean,
Yeah.
sometimes cold emails can work, but more often than not, you will hear nothing. And there
Yeah.
are people who never replied to my email, who I would tweet to something about an article they wrote, and within 5 minutes, I'd get a reply. Like, this is so weird. Like, just because I tweeted you, you're gonna reply, but you won't reply to my email. So it's very tricky. Sometimes you have to pick the right platform because I have
Yeah.
another journalist who I never tweeted. I always did it through Instagram DM. So it can be very mysterious to figure out where people are going to find you and be able to communicate.
Yeah.
Christina Elura says, I go to CAA every year. It's fantastic. Missed it this year because I was at an artist residency, hoping to go next year. And Eloise says, for
Yeah.
sure, do not try to just use people they can tell. Also makes you feel gross. Cultivate relationships with people you genuinely admire and want to have in your life. Okay, tip number five, Follow up. Why does this matter, Lauren?
Oh boy, this is the one I have the most trouble with, guys. Following up is the same as showing up. It shows that you care. And also, you know how everybody's brains work these days. We're all multitasking. We've got like a whole bunch of ideas. If you don't follow up within like a few days of something, that idea loses steam. That person's on to other projects. Or they forget about you. They don't know who you are anymore. And so, even though it's really difficult, if you, and I'm sure that everybody is getting like a plethora of emails right now, if you can manage it, follow up with as many people as you can. It's just part of like the give and take of a relationship. It's like watering all of those friendships that you have. Like, don't even do this with just like galleries or like important people. Like, do this with your friends too. Like, just be a good person.
Annie Helgelson is saying more niche galleries are also a great opportunity to find and engage audience and a smaller pool of artists to try and stick out within. That's a great piece of advice, Annie. I feel that that's sort of like big fish in a small pond. If you try to tackle the top gallery in your town, you're much less likely to get in, whereas sometimes getting your foot in the door is just a smaller gallery that maybe has more space and more time to pay attention to you. And they're not always after the big name artists. Now, I have a story about following up where I know for a fact it did not help this person because I met a student at a career fair when I was a gallery director. So it was a career fair and it was all these galleries and museums, and students would go around, it was at a college, and they would show their portfolios. And it was great. I mean, how many chances do you have to have all these directors and dealers in one room and get to speak to them in person? It's really incredible. And I had this one person who showed me their stuff and I really liked it. You know what, Lauren? I can visualize their work in my head right now. I remember what it looked like, okay? And I said to this person, this is terrific, nice work, okay? They never followed up. I have no idea what their name is. And actually, I did have a show, I think a year later, where I thought, oh, that would have been perfect. I could not remember their name. They never sent me an email, nothing. And I thought, if that person had sent me one email, it would be in my email and I could go back and I could find it. But they did not bother. And so if you guys meet somebody and you think there's a connection, send them an email afterwards and say, oh, I went to your workshop. I really enjoyed it. Here was the takeaway. And then maybe you could email them again 6 months later and say, oh, I saw you at this lecture. Being able to do that's really important. And I just cannot believe how many people don't do it because it really does not take a lot of effort, don't you think?
I mean, I understand where how it can be hard. I'm a very an extroverted introvert, maybe is what you call them. Writing those emails can be very nerve-wracking to do, even though they're just like, something very small, but they are so worth it. And I've had the same experiences as you where I have a show that I want to put together, or a set of artists that I really like to work with for something, and either they're unreachable, or it is just like, or I don't have the name or something, and it's like, oh, I'm so like, I would have if I could. I tried so hard, but you're just not around. And the other point on that I do want to make though is like, also always follow up because you don't know when it's been like one of your friends that may have like referred you to do something or another gallerist that has referred you to this person. And so their reputation is also on the line by referring you. So again, this is a, let's take care of everyone, let's take care of yourself, but also let's take care of like your whole community that you're in.
By the way, I got my first college teaching job because I followed up. Because I met somebody, actually, it was at the printmaking conference. There was an open portfolio session, super casual, get your portfolio, dump it on a table, walk around and talk to people. And this one artist came by and they said, I love your work. This is fantastic. I'm the fine arts chair of this art school. Can you please email me? Because I know that you're coming back to the Boston area. And I did. I sent them my stuff. And they said, thank you so much, but we don't have anything right now. 6 months later, I had my first college teaching job. It's because I sent them my materials. So yep. many people do not do it. Alice yeah. B is saying in the chat, like me, an art teacher asked me to send her a picture of my work for her flyer, and I didn't. Anybody relate? Christina saying, I'm so bad at writing those emails. Nobody likes writing them. They're uncomfortable, but I do think it's important. Louis Kylie says, I found so many people need 3 to 4 follow-ups before they respond. It's important to not get discouraged by a lack of response. Absolutely. I had this one journalist, I've been trying to get in touch with them forever. And I remember this one time, I was like, do I follow up? This is like the fourth time. This is so embarrassing. The fourth follow-up was the one that landed me the interview. So you just have no idea where any of this stuff could possibly go.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. That's the case that I've been in as well, where it's like sometimes a thing can get lost in your inbox or in whatever box. And then if you get another email from them, it's like, oh, okay, maybe I should, I've seen that name before. Maybe I should actually respond. So you do have good luck if you follow up multiple times.
We have an art prof share today, which is where one of you responds to one of our tutorials and creates an artwork based on it. Today, we are looking at this charcoal drawing. It's by Brenda Zurita. And you can read Brenda's statement in the video description below. You can also follow her on Instagram. So I'm just gonna read a little bit about what Brenda did. She says, watch the tutorial that Prof Lou did on charcoal crosshatching. By the way, if you wanna find that tutorial, it's in the drawing tutorials playlist. And Brenda says she was very inspired and motivated to use charcoal again after a year of not using it for actual finished works. So she got to see me doing cross-hatching, talking about the composition of the piece. And for the piece Brenda did, they said it started as a warm-up exercise, but they really liked the result, how easy and loose they were when they were doing it. And Brenda says it was a technique I didn't know could be applied to charcoal. All I ever saw it in was pen and ink drawings, but now, thanks to that video, opened a door, whole new world of possibilities with charcoal. And Brenda says, I think this technique will become one of my favorites to do warm-ups and finished works. Get your hands really dirty at the end, but that's all part of the fun. I almost felt like a professional artist. Thanks a lot, Art Prof. Very cool, Brenda.
Yeah.
Lauren, what's your take on Brenda's
yeah.
piece?
I think this is amazing. I love the directional marks. I think that's like my favorite part on this, like the crosshatching to show the volume. Like, look at that eye socket. It's super deep in there. Also that area between the eye and the nose where you can see that bump where the tooth is like inserted. It's incredible. You've done like a lot of really good work here and the charcoal's super expressive.
Also, Lauren, I feel like Brenda did a really nice job getting contrast in this piece.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think charcoal can be very challenging because oftentimes it gets really muddy and everything turns hyper gray and mushy.
Yeah.
And Brenda's drawing a skull. I mean, this feels like a skull. It's got that
yeah.
rigidity to it. It has these cavernous holes that you were mentioning. And I enjoy looking at the direction of the strokes, the way the strokes follow the form of the skull. So Brenda, thank you so much for sharing your work with us, because I think that you really learned a lot from this tutorial and we're seeing the results of that. So great job. And I do hope you get to do more with this technique because it's really, really fun. If you guys make artwork in response to one of our tutorials, you can tag us on Instagram and use hashtag artprofshare. If you would like to be considered for a YouTube shout out like we just did for Brenda, you want to go to artprof.org tutorials. And then on the left-hand side, there's a purple button, which will take you to an ArtProf Share submission form, and we will consider you for a YouTube shout out. So keep working, guys, because there's some really cool
really
stuff
good.
That we've been seeing that we're super
awesome.
Excited about. Join the ArtProf Discord. The link is in the video description below. We're having all sorts of fun conversations. And usually, guys, after the streams, we go on to Discord for a few minutes to connect with those of you who are watching live, just to get some quick comments in there.
Yeah, if you asked a question in the chat that we weren't able to get to, the Discord's a good place to post it and we can have a little bit more back and forth about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Subscribe to our channel and join the Art Prof family. And thank you so much to our top Patreon supporters. You guys make all of this possible. Thank you to everybody who came to our live stream today and shared your stories and experiences, some great conversations. Everybody, please stay safe. We will see you next time. Bye.